Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm Kevin Winder, your host. Welcome back to another edition of this podcast. I hope you're gaining a lot from this. I do put some time and effort into this because I believe that the meeting of two minds is perhaps the most powerful thing that can ever happen to transform a life. And we are all about transforming lives, aren't we? Like, I want my life to be better. I know that you want your life to be better. You want your friends, your family member, your children's lives to be better. In order for that to happen, there has to be transformation. There has to be changes that are lasting and permanent. The only way that happens is when new information comes into our brains, our minds, our thinking, and we apply it to our life. And that content can come from so many sources. It can come from a song that inspires you. It can come from a poem. It can come from sacred text. It can come from a sermon. It can come from a book. It can come from an old book. In fact, I've been changed by so many people that I've never even met. And so have you. And that's what this podcast is all about. And we are in the midst of a series called The Descent. And if you have not heard any of the previous chapters, there are three that you need to go back and listen to so that you understand what's happening here today. So let's get right on to it. Today, we are picking up where we left off last week. And if you remember, I offered an exercise for all of us to try. We were to basically take a brief walk and then stop somewhere and focus our attention on something very small. Well, did you do it? Did you have a chance to go out on your lunch break or in the morning or just pause wherever you were and just look down at something very, 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 very small, the smallest thing you can focus on? Well, I hope you did. And I hope that during this exercise, you're able to move slightly out of your thinking brain and access that part of yourself that wonders, right? Wonder and awe are very important right here. Did any aspect of awe come into this moment? Like, were you just suddenly struck by the tiniest little bug and how amazing it is? A leaf and how its infrastructure is all there and it's so small. Maybe it was a crumb and you're just, it took a shape and you didn't realize, you know, who knows what you were looking at. If you, though, gave yourself to this process, you probably became aware of another world, one that's way smaller. And if you think about it, and you look down at these little crumbs, these little bugs, these little leaves and cracks in the sidewalk and everything else, you realize that there's another world that's so much smaller than yours, don't you? I hope you didn't miss this because this is very significant. You don't want to dismiss this aspect that there's another world. To do so would actually miss a vital component here of what we're talking about when we talk about the descent. So this exercise was one that really pops the cap off of spirituality. You see, I'm doing this series because when I coach people, I used to coach people, and some of you who've listened to this for a long time, who have followed me, probably remember when I would give a video out called The Best Year Ever, and it was all about how to become way more productive. In fact, if you follow most coaches out there, they're all about how to be productive, how to overcome your procrastination, how to overcome your personal fear, how to get more done. And it's all based upon the premise that if you get more done, you can have a better life. So I'm talking about transformation, and they are talking about getting a better life. Now, I think transformation is what gets you the better life, because I ultimately believe that being changes our doing. But most coaching paradigms are the opposite. They see your doing as creating a being. So if you want a better life, you have to do more. So coaching is all about helping you get more done. You see that? But this series is about going deeper, because this is about finding your being. And this exercise of looking at something small was a way for you to pop the cap off of what a deep life is. A deep life is spirituality. Did you know that? That tiny little world that you saw, just like my new book, Oblivious, will illuminate, is actually the event horizon for the greatest thing in the universe. And an event horizon is that point of no return. It's where light can no longer escape the pull of gravity in a black hole. So it's the point at which something massive emerges that's bigger than anything else. And that tiny little world, if you got to the space of awe and wonder, is that event horizon, okay? It's the precipice of the deep world, the source or the fountain of everything. Now, even though I don't expect you to see all of that just yet, I'm trusting that you will. See, the kind of wonder and awe thinking that keeps you in that small world is also required for you to enter the deep world, which is really, as you'll discover, an infinite dimension of this world. It requires a different kind of consciousness. It's not unlike the thinking we had when we were kids. Remember when we'd sit there and make believe or just wonder? We had so much curiosity, so much awe about everything. Well, I think that's why Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God belongs to the types of people who think like that, who get into wonder, who get into awe. Okay? Spirituality then is a world where what we think is far less important than how we think. Now, all religions have a name for it. They call it enlightenment, they call it nirvana, they might even call it heaven. Science knows it as the quantum universe. Jesus called it the kingdom of God. And he told us that it was here among us, that it's here. The kingdom is now. And it takes a special set of eyes to see it. It's a place where the regular rules don't apply. You see, it's under different management, so to speak. This is the place where mathematics, logic, meaning, love, and every aspect of non-empirically based reality collide with our material world. Did you hear that? This is non-empirically based reality. So if you're a hardcore empiricist and you don't believe anything exists outside of matter and motion, then you're in self-denial. I'm sorry to report that to you, but it's true. Mathematics is not empirically based, although all of empiricism, requires mathematics. You see, we can't measure the circumference of the number three any more than we can create a theology big enough for God. This is the source of paradox. You know, in this world, you have to go down in order to go up. You have to give in order to be filled. You see, duality in binary systems give way here. They don't really work in this sphere. And they give way to singular understandings where beginnings and endings all converge into a single alpha omega moment. You see, the big news is that we don't have to die in order to possess this deep world. See, heaven is not an earth evacuation strategy. Most religion and modern Christianity teaches it as such, that this world is bad and nasty and dark and evil and corrupt and horrible and your life is terrible and going down the toilet. But if you believe in Jesus, then one day in the distant future, long after you die, you can possess something wonderful, the kingdom of God. But that's not what it teaches in the scripture. We're told it's here, it's now, that it's within each and every single one of us. And now this deep world that you will also discover that certain aspects of your self just can't go in either. You know how we talked about our surface self? That surface self is poorly equipped for the deep world because, you know, ego dissolves in that kind of proximity. And ego has to be denied. That's kind of the entry key. You want to turn the doorknob of getting into the deep world, you can't do it through ego. You have to do it through humility. We're told that parts of us actually have to die, and it does. It feels like a bunch of little deaths. I think Rob Bell talked about death by paper cuts in one of his talks. It's a lot of little deaths, right? A little bit adds up to a lot. You know, if we don't die to a certain spot in ourselves, then that water doesn't backfill the hole like it's supposed to. What you will find in this space, though, is that that aspect of yourself that has pre-existed within the mind and perfect wisdom of God, this is the part of you that existed before all of creation, and the part of you that will never, ever, ever die. That is the true self. That's the deep self. That's the self you're going to have to get in touch with if you really want a better life. This is the one that Jesus tells us to preserve in Luke 9:25. This is the realm where every loved one that has ever been has been perfected, and whose unique energy, if you want to look at it from a science perspective, is actually refracting off of every particle in the universe. For those of you who think that I'm starting to sound New Age, now consider for a minute the Hebrew scriptures before you dismiss me. It says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, that is, the days that were formed for me, as yet there was none of them." Psalm 139. Or how about, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his or her work. When she established the heavens, I was there." Proverbs 8:22 through 27. There's this pre-existence. Our pre-existence. Now, Proverbs is talking about wisdom, guiding, being there. But Psalm is talking about you being there alongside of wisdom in the mind of God. It's a fascinating perspective. Science seems to line up with that as well, in the sense that all energy has always been here. It just changes form in one shape or another. Now, I told you that this place was big. We use something small to kind of crack the lid off of it, but this place is big. It's actually infinite. Now, I hope you can see that the deep world is not out there somewhere. It's not off somewhere in a distant future. It isn't a threat that we get to use to get modern behavior modification going, right? It's not like, hey, if you want that, then you got to be a good boy and don't touch your wiener. Or whatever it is that they're going to throw out. Don't drink alcohol. Don't dance. Don't cuss. Don't chew. You know, this is not something that you leverage for behavior modification. It's simply the eternal moment that is always pressing itself in on this moment. And if we will simply fall into it, we'll get there. You see, effort, skill, technique, religious behavior, they're worthless. They are not going to get you to the deep world. I'm sorry. All religions are like an on-ramp to get you to this deep world. And many of them have practices and rituals that can help serve you, to help deliver you towards the deep world. But every single one of them stops short of the deep world. And you'll have to get off of whatever it is that's getting you there, and you're going to have to let go of it. You're going to have to let go of the effort and the skill and the technique and the ritual itself in order to possess the deep world. Now, I know that sounds a little weird right now, but stick with me. This present moment is not so easy to hang on to once you're there. You see, our surface self, as you know, prefers to live in the past or in the future. It will take some letting go and some serious love to learn how to abide here. This deeper world is not really a place as much as it is an experience. It's an inner experience that we can take with us into every outward experience in life. And so you see, that's the secret to why I think we transform. Because when we change on the inside, every single thing moving outward changes along with it. Your ideas change, your politics change, the way you treat your neighbor changes, the way you feel changes, the way you're motivated changes, the things that actually motivate you changes. Once you touch the deep world, once you possess a deep spirituality, everything's never the same. Or I should say, nothing is ever the same again. Now, I know that some of you, you kind of have a bullshit detector, and that thing is pinging off the red zone. You're like, what the is Kevin talking about? He is in some la-la land. You might be wondering, how did he get all of that from looking at a tiny little bug or something? Now, I'm going to address this wave of doubt that's pouring into your mind and your thinking right now. You see, we all have a resistance to this deep world. Our surface self in its ego hates to die. It wants to be in control. It doesn't really want you to go in there and be transformed. It wants to kind of direct you. And so we have a lot of folks who only live on the surface of life. We call them shallow people. We see them all around. But we're going to talk about that next week. Also, in next week's edition, I'm going to revisit your deepest desires. And I'm going to show you how all of them are found from the single source within the deep world. Once you tap into this source, your life will be abundant, overflowing, brimming over with experience. This is an inner experience that changes everything. And once you see it, you won't be able to unsee it, and your life will never be the same. Everyone who enters will kind of be disappointed initially. I'm going to talk about why that is. Because this is a place that has no otherness, right? There's no otherness there. And so if you have a prejudice and you thought it was going to be carried on into that space, you're going to be disappointed, which means we were all at best only partially right, which means that part that we were wrong about, we're going to be kind of disappointed because we thought we were right, but we ended up being wrong. And that's the first clue that we entered the deep space, is the discovery that we missed some of it, maybe most of it, and in some cases, all of it. But I am so glad I was so wrong. And you will be too. I hope you come back next week. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.